From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Samuel, the Last of the Judges, part of this series of studies in the Judges of Israel. Samuel's ministry formed a bridge between Israel as a theocracy and as a monarchy. His mother, Hannah, dedicated him to the Lord before he was born, and she fulfilled her oath to give him to God by handing him to the high priest Eli to be brought up in the tabernacle. Dr. Cairns has placed great emphasis upon the blessing and the importance of godly mothers and fathers in the lives of their children. Salvation cannot be inherited, so it is imperative to teach our children the gospel, both by word and by example. Samuel's spiritual ministry started in his youth. He labored for many years before he saw the nation brought into blessing. His faithfulness to God was vindicated, and God was glorified. Samuel's life, from his youth onwards, is a call to wholehearted service to the Lord. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this selection from C.H. Spurgeon's Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. The things which are not seen. In our Christian pilgrimage, it is well, for the most part, to be looking forward. Forward lies the crown, and onward is the goal. Whether it be for hope, for joy, for consolation, or for inspiring of our love, the future must, after all, be the grand object of the eye of faith. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Looking further yet, the believer's enlightened eye can see death's river passed, the gloomy stream forded, and the hills of light attained on which standeth the celestial city. He seeth himself enter within the pearly gates, hailed as more than conqueror, crowned by the hand of Christ, embraced in the arms of Jesus, glorified with him, and made to sit together with him on his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with the Father on his throne. The thought of this future may well relieve the darkness of the past and the gloom of the present. The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush, my fears. This world is but a narrow span, and thou shalt soon have passed it. Hush, hush, my doubts. Death is but a narrow stream, and thou shalt soon have forded it. Time, how short! Eternity, how long! Death, how brief! Immortality, how endless! Methinks I even now eat of Eshcol's clusters, and sip of the well which is within the gate. The road is so short, I shall soon be there. When the world my heart is rending with its heaviest storm of care, my glad thoughts to heaven ascending find a refuge from despair. Faith's bright vision shall sustain me till life's pilgrimage is past. Fears may vex and troubles pain me. I shall reach my home at last.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord calls me, he calls me by the thunder, the trumpet.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. He started as a boy. When he came to age to go out and serve, he did so with total integrity and utter honesty. I admire what he did when God gave him the message for Eli. There's very few preachers today would have the guts to do what Samuel did, even as a young man. When Eli said, "What did the Lord tell you?" he told him every whit. He didn't water down the message. You know, across America, we have preachers of many years standing, and they don't have the backbone to get up and tell their congregation the truth of God as it is. They tamper with the message. They sugarcoat the message. They put such drapery around the message that it's nearly impossible to get to the truth. Samuel, from the very beginning, was a man of integrity and honesty. His job was to call Israel to repentance. One leading commentator believes that his first work was to start out, when the ark was still in the hands of the Philistines, to start out among the 48 cities of the Levites, and probably unable to do them all by himself, to begin to galvanize these Levites into action and the priests into action and get them out. I think that while the scripture doesn't spell that out, when you look at the whole scenario, there is good reason to believe that that's where he would have started. His job was to get out there among God's people who were backslidden and call them to repentance. You know, if we can ever get a real spiritual movement among God's people, it'll not be long until it reaches the unsee of people. But while people are sitting, sleeping in the church, you'll not get a great awakening among the ungodly. While Christians don't pray, you're not going to find the ungodly getting down on their knees and praying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." But when you get God's people wakened up, when you get them called to repentance, when you get Christians starting praying instead of playing, when you get Christians who are in dead earnest about the things of God, then we can begin to look for God to deal mightily through those same Christians, even with the unsaved. Samuel's job was to call Israel to repentance, and he did. Indeed, when they began to lament after the Lord, he said, "If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." That was his job. And he saw great fruit. After 20 long, hard years, when there seemed to have been little done, Samuel saw God work and bring revival. Those 20 years, you know, represent the experience of all of us in the work of God. It would be great, wouldn't it? At least we think it would be great. As soon as you get out into the work of God, you just click your fingers and suddenly we're in revival. Doesn't work that way. 20 years. Indeed, in chapter 7 we read the time was long. It seemed to drag. But during those years, Samuel was working, plodding, praying, and leaving the timing of a great awakening to the Lord. Any fool could pray when the church is in revival. But I believe it's the choicest of the saints that God uses in praying when the church is not in revival. In that 20-year wilderness period, when it's difficult to pray, when it would be easy to give up, when your heart would be discouraged, it's in that period that God takes great men. I'm talking now about spiritually great men. And he keeps them faithful They do not bow the knee to Baal. They do not lose the sight of the glory of God. They do not lose the burden of revival for the church of God. But they keep on keeping on until God sends revival. That's the kind of man Samuel was. That's the kind of ministry Samuel carried on. God, make me a Samuel. I want to see the great awakening. I want to see the great movings of the Spirit. But until then, I want to be found faithful. May God give us Samuel's faithfulness. And then finally, we will have Samuel's vindication. Men vindicated him. Over in chapter 12, we read that the Israelites said, "It's true, you have never defrauded us. You've been a man of integrity." We have read tonight in chapter 3 how the Lord vindicated him. The Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. Listen, let us be faithful to our God, and he will do the vindicating. There's a great temptation, especially for every preacher, to try to project his own ministry, to make it appear successful. I truly believe that's behind much of the numbers game that has so afflicted so many churches. Makes the preacher feel good. I have the world's biggest Sunday school. I have the greatest number of baptisms. I have the biggest number of decisions. We have so many people up the aisle. You know, you can walk up that aisle to hell just as easily as you can walk out down the aisle to hell. The aisle is not the road to heaven. It's Christ who's the road to heaven. But people want to vindicate themselves, to make their ministry appear more successful than it is. Preachers, for that reason, are notoriously bad counters. When they're counting the number of people present at their meetings, they seem, I know of one occasion, where one preacher was reporting on a meeting, and he said, I would say we had, it was just a little beginning of a church, I would say we had, probably 60 or 70 people there. They turned to one of his colleagues who was with him, he said, "Wouldn't you say that was right, Sydney?" Sydney said, "Yeah. If you count arms and legs and everything, you might have had 60 or 70 people." Preachers are notoriously bad counters because they want it to look good. But you know, at the end of the day, success is not what I deem success. It's not what you deem success. It's not what the world thinks of as success. It's what God says is success. He must do the vindicating. Some of the greatest preachers in the world have never preached to more than a handful of people. And they were cut off before they saw the full fruit of their labors. Brainerd never had citywide crusades. But Brainerd has done more to change the world and change the church than many men who have spoken to millions. The Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. God give us the vindication. God come and send revival. And I pray this constantly. I am called to preach in a day when the vast majority of Bible believers have given up the hope of revival. I am called to preach in a day when many Orthodox preachers even think it's heresy to believe in revival. We find that among many dispensationalists, if you're looking for the rapture, you can't be looking for revival, therefore there's no revival. But before you jump on the back of the dispensationalists, we have the reconstructionists among the so-called Calvinists, and they're saying, we're not looking for revival. The Rush Dooney crowd don't want revival. They want a revamped political structure in America without revival. And I tell you, I want no part of it. I want revival. And in this day, my job is to preach repentance, an honest dedication to Christ and a seeking for revival. And I have got to pray, Lord, vindicate the preaching. Vindicate it. I can't bring revival. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof that revival is real and for our day is when God sends it. So I've got to pray, Lord, let none of my words fall to the ground, not for my glory, but for that of Christ. And I believe God will vindicate his truth. Samuel found the nation in disarray, apostasy, and bondage. When he died, Israel was well on the way to recovery. David was anointed as king, though he had to wait a little while to come to the throne. The Philistine power was broken and waning, and the worship of the Lord was established more firmly than it had been in centuries. That encourages me. Samuel, therefore, is a figure of hope for the Church of Christ in a day of apostasy. He reminds us, may we never forget it, that the answer to every Philistine force is not in the abomination of an ecumenical league with Canaanitish idolatry, but it is in a return to the Lord and to his word. He's a witness to us that God answers prayer. Therefore, let us pray. No one who has ever given his life in service to Christ is too little or too weak to be used. Thus he calls us over all these centuries to a full-hearted surrender of all we are and all we have. That you and I tonight would say, as he said when he was just a child, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, and I will, by thy grace, do thy will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. Write it there, we pray. Lord, we pray, give us Samuel's ears. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Take many in this meeting, save the lost, and dedicate thy people to thyself, and grant that there will be people here tonight, even young children, whose hearts will be stirred with a desire to serve Christ. But there will be people who, before they get out into any earthly avocation, will seek the Lord's will and say, Lord, when you call me, I am ready. And where you send me, I will go. Answer prayer and part us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.